We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, Lakers Nation. Welcome into the LakersNation.com podcast. This is Trevor Lane, and you can find me over on X at Trevor_Lane, over on Instagram and Threads at TrevorLaneNBA. Well, we got a lot to talk about today. Unfortunately, the Lakers got no help in the standings last night. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about the pending returns of Gabe Vincent and Jared Vanderbilt, what they could potentially bring to the Lakers and what the timing's looking like on that. We're also going to talk a little bit about that Kobe statue mistake, the spelling errors in that. So got to dive into that one as well. The team's three-point shooting, what's sustainable, what's not. Can they really be a threat in the playoffs? So all of those topics coming up. Before I get to them, quick reminder, make sure you subscribe to the Lakers Nation YouTube channel, youtube.com/Lakers Nation, as well as the podcast side of things over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever it is that you listen to podcasts. And speaking of which, those of you watching over on YouTube, you can see, yes, I am still here in South Carolina right now, visiting some family. No, I'm not in a hotel. My father-in-law was a contractor. He's retired now, but he has a great eye for design, and that's why I wind up getting to stay in a room that looks this fantastic. So a lot of you were asking where I actually am and everything. No, I'm at my in-laws' house, so I'm in their guest bedroom right now. And also, in terms of travel woes, you guys have noticed, some of you noticed, I'm holding my little lav mic here. Yeah, I got here, and the first thing that happened when I took it out, the clip for my mic broke. So I wind up having to hold my mini mic here. But whatever, it's what you do when you're traveling. You get through it, and that's what we're doing here on this show. Also, podcast listeners, apologies. This one's going out a little bit later than the podcast typically does. I usually put that one out right around midnight Pacific time. This time, though, with a house full of people that were looking to sleep, I couldn't record super late like I typically do. So recording this first thing in the morning. So YouTube viewers, it's being published at the normal time. Podcast listeners, this is getting out a little bit late for you guys. So apologies for that. But let's get into it. A lot of stuff to talk about on today's show. And I guess the big thing right off the bat, it's the standings watch. Take a look at where the Lakers are at right now in the standings. Still, my goodness, it feels like it's been years, right? It's been 84 years meme that the Lakers have been sitting in the 9 seed. Still stuck in 9th. What's going on? Well, teams around them keep winning. Yes, there have been some losses recently. You look at the Sacramento Kings, 6-4 over their last 10. Okay, that's fine. That's at least somewhat helpful, right? But the problem is the Lakers are also 6-4. Over their last 10. And their last 10 have actually been a really difficult stretch. I want to talk about that in just a moment. But the Warriors also 6-4. The Mavs 5-5, but they're on a 3-game winning streak. So right now the Lakers still stuck in 9th. The reality is the West, it's so good, it's so deep. The Lakers, they're going to have to do something extraordinary in order to move up in these standings. Now, the schedule does lighten up soon for the Lakers. Remember, it's March 16th was the date that I was marking as the end of their super difficult stretch of the schedule. Well, guess what? Here we are. It's March 12th. It's almost here. We're almost to the end of that super difficult schedule. We've got the Sacramento Kings coming up tomorrow. We've got the Golden State Warriors not long after that. A couple of really important games for the Lakers, but can they get through this stretch? Right now, they're playing a little bit above 500 basketball during this really difficult stretch of games. I said I would even take 500 during that stretch. So I'm happy with where they're at right now, but we're not seeing any progress in the standings, and that makes it feel like they're actually not playing that well. I think they have played well, just the teams around them in the West are so good, it's not bringing them up in the standings at all.
Need to give a shout out to today's sponsor, and that is Mando, whole body deodorant. You guys need to check this out. I'll admit, when I first received Mando's products, I thought, nah, this isn't really going to work. It's not really going to be all that different from my normal deodorant. It actually is. Whole body deodorant, pits, package, feet. You can use Mando, and the bottom line, it just works. In fact, it has been tested 12 hours after a shower. The average odor level for the average man, it's a 5 out of 10. When you use Mando, it becomes a 0 out of 10. Incredibly impressive results with Mando deodorant and their starter pack. It's perfect for new customers. Comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like the mini body wash or my favorite, the deodorant wipes. Those are super, super handy, and free shipping. And a special offer for Lakers Nation listeners. New customers get $5 off a Mando starter pack with our code Lakers Nation at shopmando.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit shopmando.com and use code Lakers Nation. Go check them out.
Now, we also got last night no help whatsoever from the Golden State Warriors or Phoenix Suns or Mavs. They all won last night in their games. And the Suns in particular were a team I was hoping would lose last night. They wound up playing the Cleveland Cavaliers, a Cavs team without Donovan Mitchell, without Evan Mobley, injuries. The timing has been terrible. I wrote about that a little bit over on the Basketball Bulletin, which is Keith Smith and I's Substack. I'll put a link to that in the description down below over on the YouTube channel in case you guys want to check that out. But the Suns, they wound up beating the Cavs last night. Not what you want to see. The Mavs won in a blowout, and the Warriors won as well over the San Antonio Spurs. For a little bit there, it looked like the Spurs might actually get another win over the Warriors. They just beat the Warriors recently. It looked like they might get another one, but no, Golden State surged ahead and won that one. So no help there. The reality is that for the Lakers to move up, they're going to need teams around them to lose. It's what's going to have to happen. It's not just about the Lakers winning games. They need teams around them to lose. Unfortunately, it didn't happen here. But again, the Lakers take on the Kings tomorrow. Important one. In fact, I specifically booked my travel plans to be back in studio for that game. This is a big game. I'll be back in studio. I'll be on playback doing the play-by-play as well as the YouTube channel. I'm excited for this one. The Lakers, man, it feels like they owe the Kings something. The Kings are 3-0 against the Lakers right now in the season. That means they've got the tiebreaker on the season. And the Lakers, they were not happy with their performance after their loss to Sacramento last time around, considering they played so well in the first quarter, and then everything fell to pieces in the second quarter. And as several Lakers players have noted since then, they are frustrated that they won all three quarters, but they lost the second quarter so badly that they wound up losing the game. So I'm expected to see a very focused Lakers team in Sacramento tomorrow night, but we'll see. Is that enough to get the job done, or do the Kings simply have their number? I'm going to talk more about that game on the next show, though. We'll preview that one, but this is a big game coming up tomorrow night against the Sacramento Kings. And then shortly after that, the Lakers will take on the Golden State Warriors, and that will be another opportunity. See, these games, this is part of the problem, really, with what's gone on here. The Lakers, they're 6-4 in their last 10, which is pretty good, right? Again, like I said, going 500, I would have been happy with during this difficult stretch of the schedule. But the key is not just that you win games, it's which games you win. And the Lakers, they've dropped the games that they needed to win. They lost to the Warriors. They lost to the Suns. They lost to the Kings. Those are doubly impactful, right? If you're able to not just put a win on your record for the Lakers, but also put a loss on your opponent's record. That's a big, big deal. And the Lakers, unfortunately, came up short in all their head-to-head matchups with their direct competition for playoff seeding recently. So that's also part of why the Lakers are stuck in the 9 seed, is they weren't able to force a loss onto the Kings, onto the Suns, onto the Warriors. Instead, it went the other way around. Those teams put a loss on the Lakers' record, and that was very, very painful for the Lakers right now. All right, so that's where the Lakers currently sit. Currently sitting in the 9 seed, would like to see them move up, of course. Really important, I think, that they do move up, because of the way the play-in tournament works. Remember, 7 or 8 seed, you get double elimination. You have two opportunities to punch your ticket into the playoffs. If you're the 9 or the 10 seed, one loss and you're out. You have to win 2 in a row. And if you're the 10 seed, you have to win 2 in a row on the road in order to get there. Not easy. This Lakers team, they're confident in their own ability to get the job done. But I certainly am skeptical that if you have to win 2 in a row on the road and you're playing teams the caliber of Golden State, of Phoenix, of Sacramento, Dallas, if you're playing two teams of that quality, well, that's going to be a pretty tall order for the Lakers to advance. So I think it's very important that they find a way to at least move up to the 7 or 8 seed and give themselves two opportunities to punch their ticket to the playoffs. The top of the table right now, OKC is in first. Denver is in second with just a half a game back. I still think Denver turns it on, and they really have turned it on. They're 9-1 in their last 10, and Denver gets that one seed, which if that's the case, then the Lakers really want to make sure they're 7 or 8, because otherwise, if they're 9 or 10, their best case scenario, their best case would be they're the 8 seed, and that would put them into a head-to-head matchup with Denver. You know, I've had a lot of Lakers fans who've said, oh, you guys are weak for saying you want to duck Denver or whatever. No, look, the Lakers have lost 8 in a row now to the Denver Nuggets. Are they due for a win? Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And do you want to have that kind of macho mentality of, I don't care who's standing in my way, I'll take on anybody? Yeah, of course. I'm not saying you don't go in and be confident or anything like that. But if you had your choice, the team that you haven't beaten the last 8 tries is probably not your ideal playoff opponent. I'm not saying you do something crazy, because frankly, the top of the table is so close anyway that if you tried to pull any shenanigans to draw a different team, I think the preferred team would be Oklahoma City. But if you tried to do anything like that, most likely it would wind up backfiring, and then you would wind up playing Denver anyway. But the Lakers would certainly prefer to not play the Denver Nuggets. And I've had people say, well, you know what, the title's probably going to go through Denver anyway. I agree. I think that whoever is going to make it through is probably going to have to go through Denver. But if I'm the Lakers, I'd rather not have to see them until the Western Conference Finals. And let's face it, the Lakers don't look like a team that's even getting to the West Finals right now. But if I'm the Lakers, I'd prefer to not see them until the West Finals if I can avoid it, and then hope that somebody else along the way knocks them off, because the Lakers, it's just not a great matchup for them. Just like the Lakers are not a great matchup for the Thunder. The Thunder would not be thrilled to see the Lakers in round one. There's no question about that. That's all we're talking about. It's matchups. Styles make fights. Styles make games. And in this case, the matchup is just not great for the Lakers with the Denver Nuggets. So you'd prefer to see them not draw Denver if they do make their way into the playoffs. But let's face it, right now, this Lakers team, just get there. Just get there, find a way, get the job done, and then figure everything else out once you do. All right, let's get into this. Gabe Vincent, Jared Vanderbilt, a little bit on Cam Reddish as well. These guys coming back, returning to action. Gabe Vincent, the news yesterday from Shams Charania that Gabe is ramping up for a return, that his return window starts as soon as next week. So that's great news. He's on the court now, and that's key. Look, we talked about this. I remember talking about this about a week and a half ago. We talked about how Gabe Vincent, Jared Vanderbilt, they were not back out on the court yet, and that even though Gabe, the rumor was that he was maybe looking at a first week of March return, I said back then that if he's not on the court at the end of February, he's not coming back in the beginning of March. It's not happening. It's not possible for him to ramp up fast enough to be back early March. Now we're hearing here, could be next week that he gets back out there, and that he is now on the floor doing work and ramping up. Conditioning is something that has to be improved. See, when you have a knee injury, you have a foot injury, anything with your legs, You can't do cardio, really. You can't go out, you can't run, you can't do all the kind of stuff that you need to do, particularly the high-level stuff, right? Running in a straight line is one thing, but if you look at the NBA floor right now, particularly with the way the game is so spread out, there is so much stopping and cutting, changing directions, quick burst situations. So that's something that takes a little while for your body to get used to. And so it's not just, is he in shape cardio-wise? Could he run in a straight line for a long time? It's, can he stop? Can he cut? Can he jump? Do all the kinds of things that he needs to do that's going to put stress on that knee. So for Gabe Vincent to now be back out there on the floor, now it's about strength. It's about conditioning. It's about ramping up, getting used to the cutting and all of that. Again, Jared Vanderbilt, you know, we've got some optimism that he will return this season. Remember, just 16 games left, though. And I would caution this. This is what really worries me about the Jared Vanderbilt situation. It's we saw Jared Vanderbilt come back and not really be back and not really be Jared Vanderbilt. We saw this. He came back early December from the injury that plagued him all the way from literally game one of preseason. The heel injury that was bugging him. And then he comes back at the beginning of December, and he was not himself for another month plus. I think we really saw five games. We saw five games of Jared Vanderbilt looking like the Vando of old, looking like the player we all know and love, the defensive dynamo, the guy that's the disruptor out there, flying everywhere on the court. We saw five games of Vando, and that was it. And it was fantastic. It was wonderful. It was a breath of fresh air. It was, oh my gosh, Jared Vanderbilt is back. Yes. And then he got hurt again. So my question is, which version of Jared Vanderbilt do we see when he does return? Now, again, 16 games left. It sounds like Gabe Vincent is ahead of Jared Vanderbilt in terms of the return schedule. But when Vando does come back, which guy do we get? Do we get the guy that we saw in the beginning and middle part of December? Or do we get the guy that we saw those last five games who was looking like himself? Because the guy at the beginning of December, like, it may have said Vanderbilt on the back of his jersey. He may have been logging minutes on the floor, but he clearly wasn't right. He clearly wasn't at 100%, wasn't anywhere close to it. And then we saw him, maybe even he was at 90%, something like that, when we saw him finally start to click and get going on the defensive side of the ball, really become the guy that we know and love. If he can be that, that's a big difference maker for the Lakers right there. That is a big difference maker for a team right now. I mean, look, no disrespect for Gabe Vincent. I'm not counting on anything from Gabe Vincent at this point. He's played five games this season, and honestly, the five games that he played, he was awful. He was awful. He was not good in the five games that he played for the Lakers. Now, do I believe that's what he is as a player? No. No, of course not. I think he's much better than that. Why? Because he's got a long career that says he's better than that. But will he get there this year? I'm skeptical. And I'll tell you this. I think the organization is skeptical too. That's why they went out and got Spencer Dinwiddie to replace him, to take over that role. So if Gabe comes back and if Gabe can be the Gabe Vincent from Miami, from last year's playoffs, great. Wonderful. That's fantastic. But I'm not counting on it. Tell you this though. Gabe can help you a little bit on the defensive end of the floor. He can help you a little bit. Vando can help you a lot. So this is really, really important for the Lakers that Jared Vanderbilt, number one, comes back, but number two, that he is his old self. If he comes back, it could make a difference in terms of, do you get into the playoffs and how far do you go? You look at this Lakers team right now, it is screaming for Jared Vanderbilt, for this level of defensive player. Right now, they are one of the worst teams in the NBA defensively since the All-Star break. They're getting crushed on the boards. Their offense has been great, and that's why they're 6-4 in this last 10-game stretch, this difficult stretch of the schedule, because their offense has been so good. They've been, I believe it's sixth in offensive rating over the last 10 games. Their three-point shooting, they've been fourth in three-point percentage over that stretch as well. So this team has been relying on their offense to get the job done, but their defense has been so bad that, let me tell you this, guys, and I wish this was not the case, but if the defense stays the way it is right now, they are going nowhere. Why? Because that's what history tells us. Because guess what? Yes, I was a history teacher. History, it repeats itself. That's what we know. It happens, right? We can look at trends historically, and we can see what takes place, and you know what? Come playoff time, the teams that can't defend, they don't advance. They don't. The old saying is defense wins championships, and there's truth to it. Even in today, when the three-pointer is king, and it's all about offense, it's all about can you shoot, defense is going to carry you through. Because guess what? There's a lot of variance in shooting. Even if you're getting open looks, you'll have one game where you'll shoot great. You'll have another game where you won't shoot so well. And you may win the first game, lose the second game. That kind of inconsistency is just inherent with shooting percentages. It's the way that it goes. So if you're extremely reliant on hot shooting, which the Lakers are right now, in order to get by, that doesn't bode well for playoff success. So they need, yes, Gabe Vincent back. I think he can help them on the defensive side of the ball. Look, he's a better defensive player than Austin Reaves and D'Angelo Russell. The question is, how much do you lose on the offensive end when you put him in, even if it's just for 10 minutes in a game? Can he produce on the offensive end enough to really take advantage of his defensive tenacity and feistiness? And can he be that player again? But Jared Vanderbilt, he could be the piece that really makes the Austin and D'Lo backcourt work. Because unlike Rui Hachimura, who is great, don't get me wrong, I like what we've seen out of Rui recently. He's been doing a really nice job. But what Jared Vanderbilt can do is he can overcompensate. He can make up for some of the defensive concerns of Austin and D'Lo. If you use him situationally, he can make that starting group, that five-man group, really work by putting another plus defender out there on the floor. So I don't want to be over dramatic. I don't want to overhype this, but I do think the Lakers' success or failure this year in the playoffs, it really could come down to, can Jared Vanderbilt come back and be himself? Because once again, if their defense stays the way it is right now, they're not going to last long. That's just reality, folks. And I wish I could say they're going to have this great playoff run. Everything's going to be fantastic. Another championship is on the way.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's just not what we're seeing on the defensive end of the floor right now. Can they still make noise? 100%. Can they be a lot of fun? Can we celebrate some D'Lo heaters and things like that? Absolutely. No question. But are they a true team that are just going to push through the playoffs right now? No, and it's the defense that's holding them back. Fingers crossed. The concern being Jared Vanderbilt's health. If he can come back, well, maybe that gives them a chance to turn this thing around on that end of the floor. I do want to talk a little bit about Cam Reddish too, who right now is being mentioned as having extreme ankle soreness still. And this is why he didn't play in the Lakers' last game, that big win over the Wolves. And that was a game where they could have used him against Anthony Edwards. Now, this is something that's lingered. We've seen Cam Reddish leave and then come back now multiple times. We've seen him come back for a game and then go right back out. And I know for a little while there, he was dealing with a bit of a groin injury. He's had a few different injuries that he's dealt with, but Cam is another guy who, when he's at his best, can help you out a little bit on the defensive side of the ball. Now, the teams don't defend him over on the other end on offense, but still, Cam is another player that we need to keep an eye on here on the injury front. It feels like he comes back and we just want to, he's back and we just want to say, okay, cool. Cam's back. That's it. Everything. All right, let's start building him into rotations. It's just not happening consistently. He comes back and he goes right back out. So I am starting to wonder what's going on here with Cam Reddish. What's really going on with the ankle? Is he re-aggravating it? What's actually happening here? Because again, this is a team that's struggling on the defensive end of the floor. I'm not saying Cam should play 20 minutes a night, but just to have somebody who can go out there and give you something defensively, to have the option, of putting a defense first wing out there, with, especially with Jared Vanderbilt out, Cam could certainly be a welcome addition, but we got to figure out exactly what's going on here because he keeps coming back and then keeps going right back out, which does not bode well. Okay, let's talk a little bit about what's going on with the Kobe statue. So, story came out yesterday. Kobe's statue out in front of Crypto.com Arena has spelling errors on it. It's got mistakes on it, particularly with a box score. Von Wafer, the former Laker, is Vom with an N. Jose Calderon is, I believe it's Jose Calderson. That's it. That's how his name is spelled. Coach's decision. It is a I-C-I-O-N rather than S-I-O-N at the end of the word decision. Like some bad spelling mistakes, like spelling mistakes that I might expect out of my my seven-year-old daughter, right? Something like that. And that's what we're seeing on this statue that is, you know, for the, what I've got that, look, I grew up as a Magic Johnson guy. Kobe is the greatest Laker of all time. Like we're talking about the greatest Laker of all time. We're talking about somebody that has meant so much to Lakers fans and spent 20 years in purple and gold. I don't need to, you know, rant about how important Kobe is, but to have those kinds of mistakes on that statue, which is celebrating him, and honoring him, especially in the light of what has happened. It's you can't do that. You simply can't do that. That's got to be checked upon. Somebody's got to catch that. Especially, look, it would be bad if it was one mistake. If it was one mistake, it would be bad, right? I mean, you're literally, like, we talk about this, how, like, you know, oh, this isn't carved in stone or whatever. This is literally carved in stone, right? I mean, check it 10 times before you actually carve this. It's literally carved in stone. And so to have those kinds of mistakes on it, that is a massive oversight that is not good, folks. Not good. Does not a great look for the organization for sure. And I'm usually one of those people that says, look, everybody makes mistakes. I've made plenty of mistakes before. I think about profession. I think about some of the mistakes that I've made, some huge errors I'll never forget, never. The worst feeling ever is when you record a show and then it turns out you did something wrong and you can't use it. I had an interview years ago with Larry Nance Jr. when he was a Laker. And this was, I think I'd only done maybe a handful of player interviews at the time. So this was like a big, like I was nervous a little bit for this interview and everything. And I had everything ready to go. And the file, after I finished recording, the file was corrupted and something happened. I don't know. I still to this day don't know exactly what went wrong. The file could not be used and I lost the whole thing. And so look, I know mistakes get made sometimes. Sometimes it's not your fault and it's just a gut-wrenching feeling. But when you're carving something into stone, my goodness, I mean, you should be checking that, double checking that 10 times, 15 times, whatever it is. That's got to be right. That has to be right, especially something that so many people are going to be seeing. That simply can't happen. And then how did it not get caught before this point? That, again, was surprising that this wasn't caught already. So not a great look for the organization that puts this statue out there. Hopefully the next statue, remember, there's going to be three statues. Hopefully the next statue does not feature errors like this. But not a great way to end things. In fact, let's end things on a positive here because I don't want to end talking about a negative like that. The Lakers, they have an opportunity to get some revenge against Sacramento Kings tomorrow night. Need to get that W. Need to find a way. to get that one done. Anthony Davis coming off of such a huge performance against the Wolves. Now, the Wolves were missing both of their bigs, missing Karl-Anthony Towns, missing Rudy Gobert. So a lot of you might say, well, of course Anthony Davis blew up. Of course he had this historic night in terms of his production, like 25 and 25 and all the steals and all the blocks and all that stuff. Of course he did, because they didn't have a big on the other team. Well, Naz Reid might say otherwise. He blew up. But the AD needs a bounce back. Like, the Lakers as a team, mentally against the Kings, they need a bounce back. But AD really needs a bounce back here against Sabonis. I still contend Anthony Davis is the better player, but he sure hasn't looked like it in the matchup so far this season with Sabonis. So Anthony Davis badly needs a bounce back performance, one in which he shows his quality as a player and how good he is relative to his counterpart in Sacramento, and that is Domantas Sabonis. So the Lakers, they head to Sacramento, not an easy place to play. You know the cowbells are going to be out because Kings fans are still going to remember, you know, the early 2000s and that whole rivalry, which was a crazy rivalry. The Lakers just 1-1-1 though against them, just kept winning. But nonetheless, that was a big deal. That was the biggest rivalry in the NBA at the time. And so you know the arena is going to be extra loud. There's going to be a lot of energy in the building. I want to see the Lakers really step up, take a win against a West opponent. That's been the big problem. Like, they've been playing good basketball, just not beating the West opponents that they need to beat. Instead, they've been losing to those teams, pushing wins on their opponents' records. That's not going to work. Get the win against Sacramento, and if you can get that done, you're going to pull within a half a game of Sacramento. Now, once again, you don't have the tiebreaker, so that could wind up, you know, being, it's almost like Sacramento gets an extra game up on the Lakers because they've already won three games against LA. But still, pull within half a game of Sacramento, and then that puts you that much closer to getting to the 7 or the 8 seed, which again should be the goal right now. Technically, they're 2.5 games out of the 6 seed as well, so they could get there, but that's a lot of teams that you would have to leapfrog. So tomorrow night, big game. Hopefully you guys come join us over on Playback, playback.tv/LakersNation, or the Lakers Nation YouTube channel, youtube.com/LakersNation. Hang out with us during the game. Again, I booked my travel specifically around this game to be back in studio in action for that game. So make sure you guys come join us. I'm going to go enjoy another day here in South Carolina, but thank you guys for joining the show today. Appreciate all of you. Make sure you do subscribe over on YouTube. Hit that like button as well. YouTube viewers sure would appreciate that. Till next time, everybody. See ya and stay safe.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.